Hey, what's up? Welcome to the Give Me Understanding podcast. I'm Aaron Dodson. If this is the first time you've listened, welcome. Greetings. Thank you for listening. And if you're a regular listener, God bless and thank you for subscribing and following. And also, if you have shared my podcast, thank you so much. This podcast is based on Psalm 119, verse 34. The psalmist wrote in the long ago, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart." This is the podcast where I discuss the sacred text, and I do my best to help myself and others understand it so that we can keep God's law and that we can observe it with our whole heart. This question for this episode, does Mark 16:16 belong in the Bible? Maybe you've read that passage or quoted that passage, and someone said, but that verse is not actually supposed to be in the Bible. Maybe you were reading through the book of Mark. You came to the end of Mark, and as you were approaching Mark chapter 16, verse 9, you noticed that there were brackets around verses 9 through 20. Or maybe you noticed a footnote on Mark 16, verse 9. In my Bible, I have a Cambridge New King James Topaz Bible. At the bottom in the footnotes on Mark 16, verse 9, it says, verses 9 through 20 are bracketed in the NU, that's a family of manuscripts, as not original, or as not in the original text, rather. They are lacking in Codex Sinaiticus and Codex Vaticanus, although nearly all other manuscripts of Mark contain them. And some translations, the way that the publishers or the translators word that footnote on Mark 16, it will really make you doubt the authenticity of Mark 16, 9 through 20. Now, I am not a scholar. I am only going to give a brief overview of, answering this question, does this section belong in the Bible? And I'm going to do so by reading the text and then also reading, sharing, and commenting on some information that was published, and I have permission from the author, by a very good Bible student that I appreciate, Alan Webster. Many of you perhaps are familiar with his name. I want to begin with reading the text, Mark 16, verse 1 through 8, and then I'll progress into the next section. "Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome or Salome, bought spices, that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you.' So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." And according to many, that's the end. The end. That's neat. Strange, peculiar ending. You are probably aware of Matthew and Luke. Neither Matthew nor Luke so end in such a way. It records, no doubt, Matthew and Luke both record some of the doubt of the early disciples early on, but they don't end with They fled from the tomb and they were afraid. The end. Now, let me just, for appreciating this whole section, let me read so you're familiar if you're not. Verse 9 through 20 is the section that is often questioned as being authentic. Now, when he, Jesus, rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they didn't believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they didn't believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. That may be the first time you've ever heard that section of Scripture read, but I'm guessing in all likelihood most, if not nearly all or all of my listeners have read that section of Scripture before. And so, again, if you notice footnotes, if you notice popular comments and arguments in the denominational circles, particularly among those who profess faith only, you will hear this argument. Well, that's not part of the original Bible. So the question, does Mark 16:16 belong in the Bible? I'm going to share what I think to be a short, brief, but yet concise and to the point document here. It's actually a tract, and perhaps you've seen it, written by Bible student and scholar Alan Webster, brother in Christ. He wrote, "Does Mark 16:16 belong in the Bible?" And I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to pause and make comments from time to time. Some modern Bibles cast doubt as to whether the end of Mark, including Mark 16:16, belongs in the Bible. Some omit Mark 16:9-20 altogether. Others have a shorter ending after verse 8 that says, "But they reported briefly to Peter and those with him all that they had been told, and after this Jesus himself sent out by means of them from east to west the sacred and imperishable proclamation of eternal salvation." Others include Mark 16:9-20 with a disclaimer or with the verses bracketed to indicate it was not in the original. Some disclaimers include longer ending of Mark or later MSS manuscripts add verses 9-20 or only found in one Greek manuscript, Codex Washingtonius, or another disclaimer is some of the earliest manuscripts do not include Mark 16:9-20. Despite this, one can have confidence that this passage belongs in the New Testament. Here's why. Now let me pause there on my reading. So if you have a Bible and it says under these verses, some or many or most of the earliest manuscripts do not include these verses. If you don't have any of this historical information, you're like, wow, well, I'm going to seriously doubt what's in here then. Because, hey, many or a lot or even just some of them don't have this. We can have confidence that this passage belongs in the New Testament. And here are some reasons why. Number one, and this is what's often overlooked, most ancient manuscripts have Mark 16:9-20. Pause there on my reading. We do not have the original autographs of the Bible. We have copies of copies of copies. The good news is we have copies that date back to within just a short time period, short span of time, less than 50 years even on some of them, we have so many manuscripts and parts of manuscripts. There are over 5,000 of them for the New Testament. So there's a lot of material available to comb through, to examine, to study. And this work of scanning through or studying through the manuscripts is called textual criticism. And it's a needed work. It's a needed science. Back to the arguments here. Number one, here's why we can have confidence that Mark 16:9-20 were in the original Bible and that they belong in the New Testament. Because most manuscripts have that section, Mark 16:9-20. There are two families of Bible manuscripts. First, the Antioch collection, which contains about 5,200 manuscripts that originated in Antioch, Syria. The Bibles that derive from this collection, the King James and the New King James, include Mark 16:9-20 with no disclaimer. Now let me pause there. Usually what I hear as an argument against this section is that it contains a passage that requires faith and baptism in order to be saved. And so a lot of your so-called faith-only people say their quick argument is, well, this isn't in the original Bible. I want you to keep in mind that the translations in which these are found, the manuscripts, the family of Bible manuscripts, the Antioch collection, produced the King James and the New King James Bible. And folks, the King James and the New King James Bible were not translated by members of the churches of Christ. Just keep that in mind. Number two, the second family of Bible manuscripts is the Alexandrian collection. 45 manuscripts, and they originated in Alexandria, Egypt. The Bibles that derive from this line all have some form of exception to Mark 16:9-20. Most ancient manuscripts have Mark 16:9-20. Out of 620 manuscripts that contain Mark, only two omit the last 12 verses. The Alexandrian manuscript itself, considered one of the three best manuscripts, includes it. Let that weigh on you. Mark 16:9-20 is in all the ancient translations and versions. So most ancient manuscripts have Mark 16:9-20. Keep that in mind. That's a fact. Number two, another reason we can have confidence that this passage belongs in the New Testament. The two manuscripts missing Mark 16:9-20 might have once had it or intended to include it. The Codex Vaticanus and the Codex Sinaiticus, both from the Alexandrian collection, do not contain this section, Mark 16:9-20. Yet, Codex Sinaiticus, leaves space for these verses, as if the copyist had not finished his work. Vaticanus ends at the bottom of a page as if the last page is torn off and missing. If an early copy of Mark was missing the last page, later scribes would also leave it out. Folks, the two manuscripts that are missing this section, there is evidence that they might have once had it or intended to have it. Next, number three, Mark 16:9-20 is unfairly subjected to doubt. It is not unusual for passages to be missing from ancient manuscripts, but these omissions are not mentioned in English translations. If there are 100 manuscripts that read the same and one has a variant, then scholars are confident the verse is included. If the preponderance of evidence is for including a passage, then no footnote is added to explain that. Both the Vaticanus and Sinaiticus omit thousands of words, phrases, and sentences in the four gospel accounts alone, yet there are no brackets or disclaimers around these verses. The Vaticanus left out dozens of entire chapters in the Bible, including the book of Hebrews, yet these are included because the preponderance of evidence from more than 5,000 other manuscripts shows they should be included. So, number three, Mark 16, 9 through 20 is unfairly subjected to doubt. Number next, four. The omission of Mark 16, 9 through 20 leaves the book of Mark ending in fear. So, Mark 16, 18 reads, "So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." Without chapter 16, verse 9 through 20, we have no eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection, which makes it inconsistent with Matthew, Luke, and John. Think about that. Just reflecting on, and I'm going to pause there on my reading, just reflecting on the fact that most ancient manuscripts have this section, and that the two manuscripts that are missing this section might have once had it or intended to have it, and that this section is unfairly subjected to doubt, really adds even more weight to the fact that omitting this section leaves the book of Mark ending in fear. And that's not like Matthew, Luke, or John. It's inconsistent. Three women, back to my reading, three women saw an empty tomb and heard an angel announce the resurrection. But no one sees Jesus resurrected. That is, if these verses were not original. Number five. Early Christians quoted Mark 16, 9 through 20 as scripture before the manuscripts that left them out ever existed. Before any of these manuscripts were written, well-known individuals in the early church quoted many Bible verses that were omitted from the Sinaiticus and Vaticanus. The end of Mark is among those. It was quoted before AD 200, which is more than a century before the famous manuscripts left it out. The Vaticanus dates to AD 300 to 325, the Sinaiticus to AD 330 to 360. Irenaeus of Lyons, who is said to have known the Apostle John personally, quoted Mark 16, 19 around AD 170, saying, quote, "But Mark in the end of his gospel says, 'And the Lord Jesus, after that he had spoken to them, was received up into heaven and set at the right hand of God,'" close quote. Other early writers who cited these verses as scripture include Papias in 130, Justin Martyr, 160, Tatian, 172, Tertullian, 220, Ephratus, 367, and Didymus, 398. All right, folks, early Christians quoted Mark 16, 9 through 20 as scripture before the manuscripts that left them out ever existed. Here are a few concluding thoughts. The Bible has been preserved by God because Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Matthew 24, 35. 1 Peter chapter 1, that's the end of my reading of that particular material. 1 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter was emphatic. He said that the Word of God lives and abides forever. If God can create the heavens and the earth, God can write a book. He can safeguard it to mankind without errors, and He can preserve it for thousands of generations so that people can know what they must do to be saved and They can know about Jesus' one church, scriptural worship, and the scriptural organization and work of the church, and what will happen when Jesus comes back again. We can know those things because God has preserved His Word. Does Mark 16:16 belong in the Bible? Yes. Yes, it does. Most ancient manuscripts have that section in them. The two manuscripts that are missing, the two ancient manuscripts that are missing this section, might have once had it or intended to include it. And the truth is, this section of Scripture is unfairly subjected to doubt. And if you leave these verses out, you've got the book of Mark ending in fear with no resurrection appearances. And that's one of the four major facts of the gospel: the death, burial, resurrection, and the appearances of His resurrected body, 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 8. And finally, early Christians quoted this section as Scripture before the manuscripts that left them out ever existed. Folks, that's sufficient evidence to anyone who simply wants to go where the evidence leads them and make conclusions based on where the evidence takes them. It's historically reliable, folks. It is the Word of the living God, Mark 16:9 through 20. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. It's given you some thoughts as you've perhaps been questioned about this, or maybe you've wondered about it yourself. There are other materials available on this. This is basically a 20-minute podcast. There are good materials available written by various individuals who respect the inspired, inerrant Word of God, the Bible, and they have written to defend this section of Scripture from a biblical and historical perspective. There are resources available. If you have questions about those or would like access to them, I can at least point you in the right direction. If you'll reach out to me, you can find me on social media. Thanks for listening to the Give Me Understanding podcast. And folks, let's treat Mark 16, verses 9 through 20 as the Word of God, because indeed they are in truth, and they are historically reliable. And in more than that, they are the Word of God. God-breathed Scriptures, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. God bless, and we'll catch you next time.